JG 1. Number 27A.
So, after we spend time then really in consciousness, fathering, sonning, and mothering ourselves so we feel right about ourselves in relationship to principle. That's what Jesus said at that point. Work out your own salvation. This is how we work it out. He says, work it out. Well, that's fine. What do I do now? Go work at McDonald's hamburger shop? Or how do I work out my own salvation? Do I help others all the time? That's wonderful. But how do I do it? I don't know how to do it. And so this shows us how we do work out our own salvation. We just take possession of what God has given to us consciously. That's first, and we don't want to rush off because, as I say, one should really underline point one, because I think it's something, as I just said before we changed tapes, that we, I think in one's own mentality, we are very, very critical of ourselves, or we worry about ourselves a lot. We turn our thought inward a lot to oneself, and, well, now what do you think so-and-so thinks about me, and how did so-and-so react just now when I talked to him, and we walk away thinking, now, did I leave the right impression or not? What do they think about me? What don't they think about me? Maybe I shouldn't have said that, or I should have said this. And so then we go away running ourselves down, and John Dorley says we get morbid. So we spend the rest of the night morbid because we just figure we're really awful. Boy, that was awful. Everything about us now is awful, and the whole thing is just full of morbid secretion, our whole attitude, usually because we don't like what we find in ourselves. So this changes all that morbid secretion about ourselves, and we feel good about it. So as I say, underline point one, it's not egotistical at all. It's really that which prevents us from being egotistical. We must work out our own salvation. We must get that clear to point one. And when we feel right about ourselves, we feel right about the universe. It always, always, always. I think the reason we're critical of others is because we're not happy. We're frustrated within. There's something that isn't loving within our consciousness. We're not loving ourselves enough in a right way, in a principled way. So, therefore, once we begin to work ourselves, our relationship out with principle, point one, really feel now I am that mind idea. I have claiming, except for myself, all that mind is, so I am mind idea right now. Then we see yourself as that holographic reflection of mind. And you really say, yes, I am. I can see. I reflect now in my consciousness all that principle life is giving to me as all the ideas of mine. I claim all those ideas of mine. They're resounding in my consciousness. I claim for me all the ideas of mine as intelligence. I don't think of myself as ignorant or dumb. And I claim for myself the idea of creativity. I don't think the next one is a little more creative than I am. I can see creativity in me. I see it in things I do. Whether I go shopping, I always kind of creatively cook a different meal. Or in the business, I help creatively in the office. There's lots of things that you begin to see creativity being expressed in your life. We'll love that little bit of creativity in the life that we see. Don't think, oh, well, the other one, look at how they put the house together. Look at how they put the clothes together. Look at how they can write books. Look at how they can play music. Look at how they can do mathematics. Look at how they can do that. You see, we find in us the little remnant that we feel, well, we too have something creative about ourselves. Find it. It's there. Something we do is creative. So always expressing a sense of differentness in our life. So we love that. This is how we love it. We give ourselves that idea of creativity. We see it there. We actually focus on it and see it happening. And then in spirit, we say, I have patience. Sure, I did. Just think of what I did the other day. Such and such happened, and I actually reflected the qualities of patience. I didn't get mad right away when somebody came up and said something. I didn't fly off the handle. It didn't make me mad. I actually had patience, and I let them finish their sentence before I jumped on them. I jumped, but at least I let them finish their sentence before I jumped, before they ever got anything out of the mouth, because I figured I knew what they're going to say. And they just went, ah, and we see, they had it right now. We said, that's not what I'm thinking. Didn't give them a chance. Now I let them say what they had on their mind. Isn't that wonderful? The next time, I'm not going to jump all over them. I'm going to be nice. And just let them have their opinion, and I have mine. You see, we practice the sense of spirit of patience. And then you love that. Just say, wasn't that wonderful? Now, I bet tomorrow I'll be a little more patient, and I'll be really happy about it and loving about it. You see, we give these things. We take possession of it in soul. Gosh, I was actually happy today. I got through the whole day happy. Morbid secretion didn't come in. I didn't turn my view on my inward self and started all of this. I feel so sorry for me. So-and-so has this and this, so other one doesn't have this and this. I'm not getting what I want, and I've been spending the whole day free of any personal ego. I really seem to have a sense of joy today, so you love that and cherish it. With the other synonymous terms, just love today. I was had quite a bit of identity with the principle. I could carry it along all day. Isn't that wonderful? At life, I had a little bit sense of the multiplication and progress going on in my life. I really do see progress in science. And at the point of truth, I really do feel that I'm beginning to see the whole structure of science. I'm beginning to love that whole structure that's happening in the system. And I really begin to see myself in the plan of love. I begin to take now on a love for the idea of science, not just for all those around me, but for the work, for the idea, for the responsibility of the idea. So I lift up my plan and mission beyond just what happens every day with the family in the job, and I turn back to science, and I'm grateful for the eternal development of life, truth, and love. You know how Mrs. Eddy says, if we're not grateful for life, truth, and love, we're hypocrites. So I say, oh, I better give, claim, and accept for myself that I am grateful for the eternal development of life, truth, and love. I am grateful for what I see in science, and I do respond to it with gratitude. Regardless of what goes on around me, that gratitude for life, truth, and love is there through the fatherhood in me, through the sonship in me, and through the motherhood in me. See, we can spend a lot of time making sure that we're right ourselves. And as I said in the Christian Science Practice chapter, the first three sections are all about how, physician, heal thyself. Then we can, once we feel right about ourselves, then we fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood point to every other idea in the universe. There, all that we've seen about ourselves, we see about all others. We say, oh, gee, now I can give, claim, and accept for all others that they, too, are receiving out of the infinite well of life, the abundance of the ideas of mind, and the abundance of the ideas of spirit, and the abundance of the ideas of soul, and the abundance of the ideas of principle, and the abundance of the ideas of life, truth, and love. And you just see the principle of God flooding all the whole universe, including the earth and all mankind, with all the ideas of God. And you think, oh, isn't that wonderful? All that's coming to all others also. And are they going to lose it? No, because love is cherishing them. Love is making sure that mind never loses sight of mind in their experience, and that spirit never loses sight of spirit, and soul never loses sight of soul, and principle never loses sight of principle, and life never loses sight of life, and truth never loses sight of truth, and love never loses sight of love. You see that about the whole universe, including the earth, including all mankind, including the family, and then we're not so afraid for the family any longer. If all the family, we see that's all coming to them, life is providing for them, love is protecting them, then we begin to lose the fear when they leave the house. Will they be all right when they go out? Will they be provided for while they're out? Will they be cherished while they're out? Do I always have to father and mother them? No, the universe, including the earth and all mankind, are fathered and mothered by life and love. So I feel good when they go out the door that they'll have a safe return. I needn't worry about that they'll have a full, wonderful life experience and come back with that fullness and we'll share it together. All these things you give, claim, and accept for all others. You bathe them in this universal realm of love. Hence ends our responsibility. That's all we can do for ourselves and others in Christianity. Then we have to see, well, then all others are going to have to do that to themselves. So then we see ourselves, all others, doing that to themselves. We say, well, I know that the time will come when the whole universe, including the earth and all mankind, are going to respond to this universal law. So then you see the universe responding and the earth responding and all mankind and the family and everything. Just see them all responding to the fatherhood of life, providing them all with the abundance of the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. See them all responding to love, cherishing them, that love never loses sight of loveliness. And see that action going on. Just bathe them with that response and know that that remnant is within them, that the Christ idea is operating to make them a transparency so they do respond, that their stubbornness or their opaqueness or any of these qualities that we think another may have, we see aren't there. They're responding, they're transparent. The business, if the boss isn't seeming to respond to some suggestion, well, if it's right, he will respond because the response, the remnant is there to respond. And then we say, well, and all others see them responding to us, not critically, not rejecting us, not at the point of life. The opposite of life is to be critical. The opposite of the point of truth is to deny. And the opposite of love is to reject. So don't see others always rejecting us. Don't make a victim of ourselves. Think how often we victimize ourselves. Oh, poor me. Nobody ever likes me, et cetera, et cetera. Again, that victimization. But see, all others now at point four are doing the same to us. They're giving, providing, and claiming and embracing for us. See them saying about us, oh, that we are always provided out of the divine source with the abundance of the ideas of mind. See them that we have all the ideas of intelligence. They aren't seeing us as ignorant and dumb. They see us as reflecting intelligence. They see us as reflecting creativity. They see us as reflecting patience. They don't see us as flying off the handle every second. They see us as having joy. They don't see us as expressing morbid secretion. They see us with the honesty of principle. They see us as being non-critical as life. They see us at loving life itself. They see us loving truth itself. They see us loving love itself. They see how we love, we put everything into the love of science, that we let the idea of science reflect in our consciousness. They acknowledge it. They love our effort in there. They're not critical of our effort in science. They don't wonder why were those funny people off studying that funny religion. We see them realizing that there's a love and a value for God, however we like to do it. We like to study the laws of life, truth, and love, and that they give that to us. They support us in that effort. They're not critical about it. They confirm that as being fine for us to do, and they don't deny it to us. They don't say, you can't study today, you've got to come do something else. They say, okay, that's fine, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. They affirm that for us, and they protect us in our work. making sure that we have the time to do it, a time is set aside for it, not trying to interfere with it, embracing it as part of our work, embracing it as part of our attitude. Just see them flooding us with all these positive affirmations concerning us, that they're fathering us, they're sonshipping us, and mothering us. And what do we get out of that? One universal family held in the gospel of love. And that's what Max Kapler has given us there under the family law. That's how they, I guess, named it in Switzerland when they took it together. They said, oh, that's the family law. That's where that came from. From God's universal family held in the gospel of love, held in the gospel of pure reflection. It is a family law, isn't it? The universal brotherhood of man. And we feel good, don't we, about it? So what we want to do, go home, take this family law all the time this year. This is something that has that tone of love, the tone of universality about it. If we do it, as we said now, as an individual, that's the biggest practice we can do. It touches the collective and touches the universal. There is where we do become a universal blessing. By loving this law and then expressing it in our life, taking possession of it, giving it to ourselves, taking possession of it, and reflecting it and embracing it in everything we do, wherever we go. And you'll begin to see the whole universe responds to that. Suddenly, everything responds to that sense of love. And you'll find you're a universal blessing in so many ways in a day that one wouldn't realize how that blesses. First, it blesses always and personally. You can go out through the whole universe and bless everywhere. As Mrs. Eddy said, if we're of one mind, we could heal the universe. This is how we do it. We're of one mind on this family law. You don't have to even leave your seat. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all mankind unto me, in the whole universe, including earth and all mankind, right where I am, because consciousness has power. It's consciousness that attracts, doesn't it? Not the letters we write and say, dear so-and-so, I was thinking about you today. You needn't write all those letters and tell, just do this. This is how one thinks about them. We let God think about the universe, including man. And that's the real, dear so-and-so, I was thinking about you today, huh? Wish you were here. But we're thinking about them and wishing they were here through this law. It's the highest way we can do it. And I feel if we do this year, think of where we will be when we meet again, huh? What an impact that has on a world out there that really needs this love. Love is the key of the 7,000-year period, that all-embracing sense. And this is our responsibility at Christianity, at Christian Science. This is what we can do in the brotherhood of man. Okay, so I want to leave it at that this evening. I promised I wouldn't take us any farther than this. So now we're taking a look at yesterday, and we're just going to summarize what we saw in the Christianity vertical, that whole wonderful vertical of the realm of love, where that one love, that all-embracing mother of divine science, appears on the level of absolute Christian Science as co-parenting the universe, as co-parenting the idea man, that compound idea, that wonderful divine hologram, that pure reflection of God is always being provided by life spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately. Always, suddenly out of divine origin, we're being provided with the abundance of the ideas of mind and the abundance of the ideas of spirit and the abundance of the ideas of soul and the abundance of the ideas of principle and the abundance of the ideas of life, truth, and love. And that's our spiritual capital, that's our spiritual principle, and with a consciousness as man filled with the ideas of God, against such a consciousness there is no law. That handles animal magnetism. And then love says, well, I preserve that. I cherish that. I do that by showing that love never loses sight of loveliness. Therefore, within man, all those ideas of mind never lose sight of mind. And spirit never loses sight of spirit. And soul never loses sight of soul. And principle never loses sight of principle. And life never loses sight of life. And truth never loses sight of truth. And love never loses sight of love. Therefore, we can see that this is that wonderful, full reflection of the Father life and the Mother love, holding the divine idea that at universal family in the gospel of love. This is what we see when we come now to the law of interdependence in Christianity. We take that exercise on page 94 in the study aid. And here, then, we just want to get today just the big overall structure of everything. We want to say, gee, isn't it wonderful that there is always this source? We want to see that infinite fathering, mothering of God to God's universal family held in the gospel of love. Always knowing that the power sense is coming from the higher that makes us respond ourselves. When we go over the family law, we don't keep it fatalistic. We don't just say, well, life is doing it and love is doing it. It is. But in Christianity, there always has to be a response from man, in that we let that be glorified in our consciousness. We also respond by going over and over in consciousness these laws until finally the structure of being is a structure of consciousness, and we have gone through science and past science into being itself. We just are those laws in operation, and the response is by being. Now we see, therefore, this co-parenting through this law of interdependence, where we see then how this will always make us aware that the power source then behind God's universal family held in the gospel of love is always coming from life and love. They're always that which is taking care of the universe. Now, when we look then, we see this is just a logical flow, and I just will take it as face value here, just to keep its simplicity. Therefore, that one life which is always providing for idea man, for the hologram, and certainly it has to, because man isn't an original source itself. As a divine holographic image, it always is getting its source from the principle itself. It makes sense, doesn't it? It of itself isn't a power source. It's always pulling from that principle life, which is always eternalizing all the ideas of principle. Always eternalizing them. Always making sure that the ideas of principle are eternalized, through always providing them with the abundance of the ideas of principle. So all ideas are the ideas of principle, which are eternalized by life and preserved by love. And life and love, the Father and Mother, are always therefore maintaining that realm of ideas, where every idea therefore is an idea in mind. That because every idea is an idea in mind, a holographic image of mind itself in operation, therefore life is maintaining that image and love is embracing it. It can never get lost. That image is always embraced within the realm of ideas. It keeps the integrity, it keeps it intact. So therefore, life is always conserving the identity of an idea with principle. It can never get lost. The umbilical cord between principle and idea can never be severed, because life is always conserving the capacity of the idea to remain bond with its subject, God. And love is always containing that bonding of the idea identified with its principle and every other idea. It can never be undone. You know, we know when we see that each idea identifies itself with principle and every other idea, and at the point of spirit, each idea reflects that principle in every other idea, so we get that universal reflection of ideas through life, truth, and love, the fatherhood of the idea, the sonship of the idea, and the motherhood of the idea. What is it that enables that bond not to be broken? We're at the hinge of spirit. Each one gives, claims, and accepts for themselves the fatherhood of themselves, the sonship of themselves, and the motherhood of themselves. First to themselves. First we give to ourselves as a true father. We claim for ourselves as a true son. And we accept for ourselves as a true mother. All that principle has, all the ideas of God. And then we give, claim, and accept for all others. We support all others' effort in the forward development of the idea. We give, claim, and accept for the whole universe, including man, including everyone who loves this idea and wants to go forward in this idea and contribute to the idea of science. We see them held in the gospel of love. We support their efforts. We support what they do spiritually. That's where the support comes. It's a spiritual support to each one. And know, and there we can help each one in their desire to help with the responsibility to respond to those laws of life, truth, and love in their individual way. This is how we can help each other, support each other without an organization per se. Each one of us in our consciousness can support the individual effort to serve the collective idea. That does much more than building a house where we say we all come and we all put the dollars into it and we all organize and build something big. It's much greater substance to help each other if we take home this year this family law and support our efforts through the family law. Then we're really supporting the individual's effort to serve the collective idea. Then it will go forward. Then everybody will stand with their effort in science. That's how we can help. And so therefore we see that all others also are flooded with all the ideas of principle. And that we see then that all others accept their responsibility to identify themselves individually with the principle first, not with organization, but with the principle, where they see that they're flooded with all the ideas of God, that life is providing them constantly with all the ideas. Love is always keeping those ideas intact. And then we see that all others are doing that for us, that they're supporting our individual effort in the forward development by seeing that the whole universe, including man, including we also are being provided with the abundance of the ideas of God cherished by love. And there's this wonderful universal reflection going on where the real work is done, the real support is done for the idea to go forward. And then we say, well, that has succeeded, therefore, because life is constantly feeding that universal reflection of ideas. Love is constantly nurturing it. Life is always providing, upholding, and promoting the fatherhood, the sonship, and the motherhood of every idea to itself and every other idea to itself and every other idea. It's constantly, life is providing, upholding, and promoting the brotherhood of man. And love is constantly accepting, protecting, and caring for that universal brotherhood so that it doesn't get lost, that that whole, which is greater than the sum of its part, does its universal tick, 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 tick. Huh? And that tick, tick, tick is the whole that is greater than the sum of its part, and that whole that is greater than the sum of its part is love. Love holds everything together. If our effort isn't to support each other through love, it's of no value. That's what the Gospel of John was all about. We're just tinkling cymbals if love isn't behind it. And our work will only go forward with love. It's the only way. Only this family law of our supporting ourselves and others, and others themselves and others ourselves, is going to make the work go forward. But that we do not by writing nice letters. That's nice, but it's done through the prayer. That will do it. The consciousness has power. And we know that, don't we?